Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places.
Monday, April 27, 2020. It's Here the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, it was fun to watch the NFL draft all weekend long. I think I watched every single pick because really, what else is there to do? Two Maryland Terrapins selected, Anthony McFarland and Antoine Brooks. They both go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, to much the chagrin of you and I, Ravens fans, and many other Ravens, Maryland combinations. But very happy for those two guys. McFarland goes in the fourth round, 124th. Overall, Antoine Brooks goes in the sixth round, 198th overall. And Keith, you and I combined to essentially get Anthony McFarland's spot and team in our draft preview. So
you had the team right, Pittsburgh Steelers. I was close. I had fourth round to the Atlanta Falcons. Only 10 picks later, I had 134 overall. It goes 124th overall, and then Antoine Brooks picked just a couple rounds later by the Steelers. Maybe that Matt Canada connection came into play here, Taylor, with the Steelers. Maybe trusting their newest coach and his evaluation of those guys, and couldn't be happier to see those two guys get picked up here this past weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Matt Canada certainly saw Anthony McFarland at his best last season for the Terps. McFarland setting all of those freshman rushing records at Maryland under Canada's tutelage. And then obviously Canada coached Antoine Brooks as well. Not as much of a connection because Brooks on the defensive side of the ball, but Matt Canada was the interim head coach there, so has a very intimate knowledge. Also, Mike Tomlin, whose son Dino Tomlin is a reserve wide receiver right now, he's got some pretty good potential actually for the Terps. Mike Tomlin was at those games, watched a lot of Maryland games, so he also has seen a lot of Antoine Brooks and Anthony McFarland. And that Canada connection was part of the reason I predicted McFarland to go there. He does a lot of the things that you would think they're going to incorporate now with Canada as a part of that offensive staff, the jet sweeps, getting people out in space, all those different type of things. McFarland is such a great Swiss Army knife of a weapon with his one-cut speed, as he was much talked about. And then Brooks, as we talked about, a guy for the modern NFL, 5'11", 220, and that can move around and play in so many different positions. It was interesting listening to Daniel Jeremiah on the ESPN NFL Network broadcast talk about all the different spots that Antoine Brooks can play, because that's really what we watched at Maryland for 3 years, was his ability to play at nickel, his ability to play the line of scrimmage, and then drop back in coverage. Also mentioning that what we mentioned in the preview is that he will be a very valuable special teams player. So a great spot for both of those guys. Always good to have a familiar face on the staff that you go to. Matt Canada provides that for Anthony McFarland and Antoine Brooks. And then those guys get to go up together, which is also very cool. A couple of DMV guys head up to Pittsburgh. It was so funny reading the amount of Maryland fans that are also Baltimore Ravens fans in our social media comment section talking about, like, I can't root for Pittsburgh, but now I have to root for and I have to root for Twan. You got to root for other people too, because that team now has five Maryland players on it.
That's crazy.
Davon Walker signed with the Steelers in the offseason. Derwin Gray is already there. Trey Edmonds is there, the running back. So they've got five Maryland players currently on the roster. Now, all those guys be there once the season starts. When the season ever does start, we don't know. But at the current moment, as we record this on April 26th, five Terps play for the Pittsburgh Steelers and none play for the Baltimore Ravens. So, maybe that's just the Ravens' fault for not bringing any Terps in. But very cool to watch both those guys get drafted. We also had undrafted free agent guys go as well. Keith, Tino Ellis reportedly will sign with the – these guys have all announced this, but they haven't officially been announced by the teams. So Tino announced he was heading to the Saints. Javon Leak, who thought he would have a really good chance to get drafted, is headed to the Giants. Unfortunately, he didn't get drafted. I think ultimately that 40 time really hurt him at the combine. And then Tyler Mabry, very happy for him, will sign with the Seattle Seahawks. and we await the news on other Terps. Keiondre Jones is apparently deciding between a couple of different options. I think he will end up on a roster, and then we will see Isaiah Davis, Marcus Lewis, Sean Christie, and Ellis McKinney. Hopefully those guys get an opportunity somewhere, but not every team has announced all of their free agent signings. This stuff kind of drags on a little bit into this week. So thoughts on those, some of those guys' destinations, Keith? Undrafted free agents, obviously tough to make a roster, but you get it. You obviously get the NFL chance, and those guys get to sign those contracts, which is a dream come true.
Yeah, Taylor, I had Tino Ellis mocked to the New Orleans Saints in the sixth round. Doesn't get drafted, but does get picked up, add a little competition to their secondary battle there throughout these mini camps, and hopefully when we have a season rolling out kind of towards the summer. And then Javon League was an interesting one to the New York Giants, Taylor. They were first in kick return yards last year in the NFL, had over 1,000, 23.5 average on kick returns. Cody Latimer, who had the lion's share of their kick returns for the Giants last year, he signs with the Washington Redskins in the offseason. So if you're the Giants, you're probably trying to look at, okay, how are we going to replicate and keep that same production in the kick return game next season? Hey, let's go and take a young, talented guy like Javon Leak to try and fill some of those gaps. So an interesting move there. And, you got Saquon Barkley to learn under. Not a bad guy to be sharing carries with. And then Tyler Mabry, hey, he'll have his work cut out for him in Seattle. Some talented tight ends there in for the Seahawks. Greg Olsen signing there this offseason. Taylor, a little up there in age, has some injury risk there, but some talented guys in that tight end room in Seattle that Tyler Mabry will be fighting out for a spot on that 53-man roster, which I now think is expanded, Taylor, with this new CBA deal. The roster size has increased a little bit, so maybe it helps some guys have a chance to make a team.
Yeah, there are a lot of tight ends on the Seahawks roster, so Tyler Mabry will have a bit of an uphill battle, but happy that he will get an opportunity to head into a camp, which will be much deserved, a really good guy who we've had on this show before. In terms of Tino Ellis, another Maryland connection, Corey Robinson, who was the DB coach at Maryland this season, is now a defensive assistant with New Orleans, so some familiarity there for Tino Ellis, who didn't get coached by Corey Robinson for that long, but there's still that connection, and he can try to make some waves also on special teams. The same as you said for Javon Lee, not only in the kick return game, but also you're going to have to contribute on the other side as well as a gunner or something of that nature. The running back depth is an awesomeness for the Giants. Wayne Gallman is a decent player. Deion Lewis is also on that team, but it's Saquon Barkley every day and twice on Sunday for the Giants. So Javon Lee's going to have to make that team in some other areas, as we talked about. We'll wait to see what those other Terps do in terms of signing. But I do think, moving back for a second to Anthony McFarland, has a chance to contribute, as we talked about, on that Steelers roster that doesn't have a ton behind James Conner, who has been hurt. You had Benny Snell, a couple of guys drafted Benny Snell last year. But McFarland, as we said, can contribute in a bunch of different ways. So hopefully he can stay healthy. And you know that Matt Canada knows what McFarland can bring to the table. So we'll give him ample opportunities, or at least – be one of the ones that goes to bat for him in those offensive meeting rooms, and then Antoine Brooks there as well. So wish we could have had a couple more guys drafted, but they're going to get their NFL opportunities as undrafted free agents. And sometimes when you're going to get picked in the seventh round anyway, you might as well become an undrafted free agent, because then you can kind of pick and choose your spot, find a good fit, find a place you want to go, maybe have a connection on a coaching staff or something of that nature. So good for those guys for finding those spots. Then we will wait for those other guys as well. So a fun NFL draft. It was nice to just be able to watch that draft. I thought on the other side, ESPN and the NFL Network did an incredible job pulling that thing off. But
I was going to say, Taylor, standpoint, which coach's house or GM's house did you enjoy getting cut to or shown the most?
It was honestly very entertaining. Going in, I thought it was going to be very stuffy. Having watched the WNBA draft the week before, they didn't have the same amount of access, so it just didn't flow as well. I think the NFL actually did a really good job flowing the draft by not interviewing too many draft picks right after they got picked like they normally would when they're at the site, and instead showing us those scenes. The Belichick dog is the one that entertains everyone. Whatever was going on behind Mike Vrabel. I enjoyed John Harbaugh's fist pump after the Ravens drafted Devin Duvernay. That was very entertaining. And I really liked Brian Flores' kids. Brian Flores, yes. If the Dolphins kept having his three kids, a bunch of people had kids. Both the Jets GM, Joe Douglas, and Adam Gase, head coach, both had their kids. But Brian Flores' kids were like going crazy
They were the stars of the show.
They were very, very.
Also, I will say, if I ever get the chance to go to Arizona and get a tour of Cliff Kingsbury's house, I'm going to take that chance, because that was that guy's doing all right for himself.
Yeah, I mean, what a flex that was. Then you had, I think it was Zimmer for the Vikings had like the hunting lodge up
the
there.
Ranch,
Joe Judge for the Giants had the golf course behind his house. I mean, going into all of these rooms, you're in Sean Ellenby's guy, Bel Air's finest, Andrew Berry, was just at one point for the Cleveland Browns GM, was just tossing a football up in the air, like trying to keep himself busy. So it was very cool. And as I said, I mean, you and I do these Zoom calls. We've had to figure out audio. Technically, to pull that off with really the few little things, but Roger Goodell, also Roger Goodell, very entertaining, talking to the fans. That's the most likable he's maybe ever been. But him and all the fact that there weren't really any technical glitches you could notice. Like at times you could see that Lewis Riddick, it was taking him out of here, and then there was a delay in him talking. But really, for the amount of cameras they had at different players' houses and GMs and all these different things, really an incredible, incredible feat of broadcasting. Not to get too in the weeds on that, but I very much enjoyed it. Keith, we were also doing a Zoom call on Friday, but it didn't have anything to do with football. We had former Maryland All-American pitcher and now Boston Red Sox pitcher Mike Schworn on the show. And Mike is one of my favorite athletes in Maryland history. I had the chance to work with him when I worked with the baseball team in 2015 and 2016. And he is one of the best people to come through that program, just a stand-up guy. And to watch him now rise to this level where he is a big league pitcher, he's very, very cool for me. And we had a great chat with him, Keith.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he went through some of those growing pains at times last year. You know, that London series, you know, he kind of was still kind of finding his way in the role he had with the Red Sox. But, you know, he seemed, just from talking to him, a guy who really was gaining confidence heading into this season, heading into the spring training, you know, season with the Red Sox, and seemed like he was going to have a pretty solid role carved out for himself, you know, if the season had happened as it was scheduled to occur. But, you know, here we are. He's in a situation now where he's just trying to find ways to keep throwing, keep staying in shape, and, you know, enjoy the time that, you know, you do have like this, because, you know, like he said, one of the first times in his life in a springtime, you know, heading into a baseball season where he's not practicing, training, playing games, you know, for years and years for a guy who's so used to doing it.
Yeah, especially for those baseball guys who are just used to playing day after day.
They play it nonstop.
After day after day. And now he is just sitting, throwing in the backyard. Down in Florida, good for him, though, in the warmth. But
not a bad
really
place
excited, yeah, really excited to talk to Mike. And part of the reason we brought him on, too, was to get that perspective on, and we'll be doing that in some of our upcoming guests over the next few weeks, getting the perspective of some of these people that are out of Maryland, some of our alums that are out doing different things in the professional ranks, and how they're coping with it. We've had a lot of perspective from the internal side of it, student athletes and coaches, but to get some of these other stories, and Mike was a great person to start, so well-spoken and gave some great perspective. So let's get to that interview with Boston Red Sox pitcher Mike Schworn.
As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle with former Maryland All-American pitcher and now, more importantly, Boston Red Sox pitcher, a big leaguer, Mike Schworn. Mike, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time, man.
Yeah, of course. What's up, guys? What's up?
First of all, quarantine, and obviously you would have been in the middle of your season right now, spring training canceled, and then we would have had opening day, you would have been with it. What are you doing to stay busy right now during quarantine?
Well, I think first and foremost, just trying to stay busy. And then second, just trying to stay in shape. You know, I mean, it's quite uncertain times right now. So I'm just trying to stay as in best shape as I can, kind of get them ready for whenever, you know, they decide to have us back. So
probably the first time, and I'm sure you can't even remember, that you haven't been playing baseball games during the spring months. What's that been like to just not be able to get out there and play?
It's been crazy. I mean, obviously you kind of go through your routine every year. You're ready to play baseball. You're getting ready. You go to spring training and then it's just kind of like everything gets put on pause. But it's been nice. I mean, I'm just kind of enjoying it. You know, I'm enjoying it with my fiance, Emily, and just kind of taking it day by day, you know, like you just can't really think too much of it and just try and get better each day and just enjoy it. You know, luckily, you know, there's a, we have a bigger backyard, so I can work out and swim and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, you just can't stay still. It's been tough, you know, like you're used to on the go, you're used to that travel. You're just used to all that. And, you know, you kind of get time to just be by yourself and, you know, kind of figure things out if you need to and better yourself, you know, so.
Mike, you mentioned kind of the workouts there. And what is your training schedule look like if there really is one? I mean, there's kind of an uncertain time of whether you're not, there's going to be an MLB season or when it will start back up. So how are you trying to just stay in form, stay in shape?
Yeah. You know, the Red Sox do a really good job. They put out a kind of a workout and schedule we can follow. So I've just been doing that, but you know, I'm trying to work out during the weeks and kind of hang out on the weekends. You know, you kind of got to have that reset and just enjoy just, you know, being home. Cause you know, you don't get that much time during the season. So, you know, just enjoying that, but just working out during the days. I mean, there's really nothing else better to do. So, you know, you just wake up, you get a workout in, and then you just kind of hang out for the rest of the day. So.
Are you able to throw at all? Are you able to just, you know, let the arm loose or?
Yeah. I bought a net. So I've been just throwing into the net, which is kind of tough. You know, I'm tired of not having a partner throw it back to me, but you know, it is what it is. It's better than nothing at this point. And, you know, fortunately I can still throw during this. So that's just kind of like, it's better than nothing.
I was about to say, have you had to get creative in terms of working out? We've seen some of these videos of like Marcus Stroman throwing on his dock. I think Orioles had a prospect who was throwing across a lake. Have you just driven around and tried to find places where there's really big spaces that you can just throw a long toss or whatever?
Not really. I mean, like I said, luckily their backyard's big enough where I can kind of fortunately get everything done in there. But I think this next week I may try and ride around, see if a high school is open to use a mound. But you know, hopefully I don't get kicked off, but
we got to find you a beach out there. Get out.
Yeah. Got to find your beach somewhere. Right.
So we'll take you back to when baseball was happening. You get that call last June to join the Red Sox. Obviously that's the call everyone dreams of getting. What were you doing? And do you remember the feelings when you got the call that you were going to be a big league pitcher?
Yeah, I think, I was out to eat with my buddy, and we had just come, it was just right after our game. So it was later, and you know, you follow the Red Sox, you kind of, you hear about it. And then, we were eating, I think the Bruins were on at the time. So we were catching the end of that game or highlights or whatever. And I got a call from a Boston number, and I didn't really have my phone, and I looked and I saw it and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then they called again. So I was like, I got to go pick this up. So at that point you kind of put two and two together. So I called them back and they were like, yeah, you know, you're getting called up. And I was just kind of like, oh my God, this is great. And then, you know, on the flip side of it too, is like they're in Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, you can't, you know, think of a better way. You know, you're getting called up and you're going to Yankee Stadium, you know, like for Boston Red Sox, Yankee, you know, rivalry, like unbelievable, you know? So it was unreal. I mean, I called my parents, I called Emily right away. You know, I was probably just overwhelmed and I wasn't really thinking too much at the time. I was just kind of, you know, making the calls, letting people know. And then, it finally set in when I went back to the field and to get my stuff and get ready to head out the next day. And I was just kind of like, this is really happening. Like it was unbelievable. I mean, it was a dream come true. That's really the only way you can explain it.
And Mike, you were a guy who his whole career was a starting pitcher, even, you know, through the minors, you know, getting starts, kind of always kind of managing, you know, your appearances that way. But you're moved into a role as a reliever, middle reliever. So what was that transition like? And then did you feel a little bit more confident in that role going into this season in 2020?
Definitely felt a little bit more confident in the role going into this season. You know, and honestly, it was tough at first to kind of get acclimated to that. But you know, we have a really good bullpen up there. And pitching staff too, just guys that want to help you, want to get the best out of you, you know, like the Barnes, the Workmans, the Braziers, you know, list goes on and on really. You know, you have Evo, you know, like all those guys. So, you know, they just try and help you every which way to kind of get you ready for the games, you know, any questions you have or whatnot. So, it was really great, you know, being in a new role and having those guys to kind of talk to and help. It was definitely useful.
You get the chance after you get called up to go to London and play, which not many people can say. Obviously the actual appearance didn't go the way you wanted, but to have the chance to pitch in such a historic moment in baseball and fly over there, what was that entire experience like?
Unreal. I mean, from the plane we took to just being over there every day, I mean, or for the 3 days that we were there, it was really unbelievable. I don't know really how to describe it. I mean, we took an unbelievable plane. Like, I don't think I'll ever fly on that ever again. So that was to start the trip, you know, and then just being over there and seeing the fans, not so much the games being played, but like during BP and stuff, and seeing that you just have fans from over there who are baseball fans. You know, you have other teams' jerseys, you have just baseball fans in general that just came to see baseball because they may never get a chance again, you know, or, you know, you have this year. But so that was cool, knowing that like it was bigger than just one, two games. You know, it was people who had never seen the game that have always followed it, you know, finally having the ability to come and see, and you know, you'd be able to toss a ball to them and they, you know, they're going crazy. It was unreal. The atmosphere was really cool. And just being over there and being a part of it was something special, you know.
When we were researching for this interview, Taylor mentioned the plane ride over to London. He's like, Keith, just Google Boston Red Sox London plane. I'm on this Business Insider article. I'm like, I just want to talk to Mike about this the whole time. Man, this is incredible. There's like a Michelin star restaurant on here. I mean, a full bed. I encourage anybody who's listening, Google Boston Red Sox London plane, and you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, it was actually funny. I slept the whole ride over there. Completely, like, I don't remember any part of the flight. I got woken up by a stewardess, like, when we had already landed and taxied. I was like, what? You know, but...
Wait, you landed... So, did you sleep, like, in one of the flat beds? So, did you...
So, every seat on the plane was like that, and it would just lay down to a flat bed. So, everybody had a bed, basically, if they wanted to. And I put like the eye cover on and I was just out like a light.
That's amazing. Normally the stewardess would be like, hey, like, let's get your seat to the upright position. Just let you sleep until you got to the gate. What was the worst?
And I mean, just driving up to the plane first, like it's the biggest plane I've ever seen. I mean, it's just massive, you know?
So what was the thing that you saw on the plane where you were like, okay, this is not a real situation, like, what is happening here?
I mean, like, to the front of the plane there was a full bar and they had tables where you could play like poker and stuff. So I guess like once they got in the air, like, they could shut it down and like, I don't really know, they didn't do it, so I don't know. But like, I mean, just from that and then to every seat being able to like recline to a bed, I'd never seen that before. You know, like, it was just all incredible, you know.
Based on the photos, I wouldn't mind being quarantined in this plane right now.
Yeah, flying around wouldn't be bad.
wouldn't be a bad way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's just outrageous. So that the Red Sox, that's a one-time thing. They're not bringing that in for the old jaunt down to Baltimore. So.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
when you obviously pitched in that series, and you talk about the fans, what was sort of the reactions like when they would see like just regular plays? Because we've seen those NFL London games, and just the reaction to any touchdown is big because you just don't see it live. What were those sort of reactions like as opposed to a normal big league game that you're at?
I mean, I think every time there was like a crack of the bat, you know, they were cheering for whatever it was. But one of the cooler things was the day before or 2 days before, I forget what day it was, the newspaper actually had to run rules, like a base, not rules, but like, I guess, baseball etiquette, just kind of letting them know like when to cheer, why to cheer, kind of like stuff like that. And it was kind of funny reading them, you know, just like those people didn't have that experience. Like, we take it for granted, but they, you know, they don't know. So that was kind of cool. But I would say probably just the, like you said, just every time, you know, a ball was put in play or hit, you know, there was probably a bigger reaction than, you know, normal, but it was cool.
Did you get any chance to sightsee in London?
Yes and no. That first day was kind of tough just coming in. And they had a double decker bus, but it wound up taking us about, I think it was 2 hours to go like 15 miles or something like that. Don't quote me on that one, but it was long. It was a long time for a short period. It was less than 20 miles. And I was still somehow exhausted. So I wound up just going back and taking a nap. But on that trip in, I mean, we saw the British intelligence building, MI5, London Eye, Big Ben. So, we kind of did sightsee on the way in. And then just kind of walking around, you know, you got to see the palace and all that stuff. So it was cool. I mean, seeing those things, you know, you hear about them and then you're like, wow, you know, you're really there looking at them. It's cool.
Taking you back to your time at Maryland, Mike, you played on some really good teams, the 14 and 15 Super League teams. What are your sort of fondest memories thinking back to specifically those 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, we did countless things great on the field. Fun times, unbelievable times. I would say the biggest thing I remember, the guys. I mean, just the group of guys that we had from both teams were unbelievable. From Stinnett and Schmidt and Kirkpatrick to Galligan and A-Rob, and you know, I'm going to leave off a ton of guys' names, but all those guys. I mean, it wasn't just one person getting us there. It was a whole team effort both years. And I think if anything, that's what made us good. You know, we were all in it, and every single person was in it to win it. You know, we had one goal and nobody was going to stop us. You know, and fortunately ran into the bus all UVA both years, but you know, the biggest thing for me was just the guys. Like it was an incredible group of guys. And if anything, one thing I do remember is just both of those dog piles. I mean, it was incredible. And the journey we went on for both of those, I think, really brought us all together. So,
like Rob Vaughn, an assistant when you were playing at Maryland, now the head coach, you know, 3 seasons in, what do you remember back from your time when you were at Maryland? Obviously, you know, as a pitcher, not maybe working with them day to day, but that, you know, kind of gave you the confidence that, you know, a guy like Rob Vaughn could be successful leading the program.
Yeah, I mean, just from the pitcher's standpoint, when I was there, it was always nice knowing that, you know, he dealt with the hitting side of it, him and Swope. Just knowing that we had two coaches that were going to get the hitters ready and prepared for every, you know, anything during the game, any type of situation, you know, they were ready to go. And from a pitching standpoint, it's nice going out there and having that, knowing that, you know, they're ready to go. You know, from the offensive side standpoint, you know, made our jobs a lot easier. You know, but just his level of preparation and his toughness, you know. We were a tough group of guys those years. So I think those two things would probably be the biggest things that I remember from him. So he was a great dude too. So
you had some of the bigger starts in recent Maryland history. Obviously your sophomore year, one of the better years in the history of the school. But specifically you ended your Maryland career with a ridiculous performance in the Big Ten tournament at like 10 a.m. against Indiana with 16 strikeouts. Take us through what it's like when you know it's all working and you're just going to strike everybody out.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of got goosebumps right there, but it was unbelievable. I mean, I can replay that game in my head almost as if, you know, I was pitching in it right now. I remember bullpen before the game, we were out there and Bellinger's, you know, just, hey, you know, let it easy. Work into it as you're building up. And then you get out on the mound and, you know, they're just swinging at everything you throw. You know, you're throwing fastballs down and away. They're taking them for strikes. You're throwing sliders in the dirt. They're swinging, you know, and they just continue to do it. And you're just like, all right, you know, like I'm going to keep doing it if you guys keep swinging at it. So, you know, it was a really fun day. And having, you know, my best friend behind the dish that day, Nick Sierra, that was great. You know, kind of you know, at the time it was kind of like a send off, you know, that was going to be my last game, and to have him behind the dish, it was cool. You know, we started our careers together at Maryland, and you know, he was there. But and then one other thing from that game I remember was Chef pulled me aside before that ninth inning, and he goes, you know what to do now, go do it like you've always done in your career. And I still get goosebumps from like just saying that. Like that, it was just one of those moments that I probably won't ever forget. That, you know, he just kind of took me aside and was like, "Finish it. Like, this is your game. Like, go finish it." And it kind of gives you goosebumps, you know.
Mike, how cool is it now to have Brandon Lau and Lamonte Wade, you know, in the bigs with you? You know, just guys that you played with, you know, played on those teams with that are now, you know, playing at the highest level with you.
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, and we have guys in the minors coming up too. You know, you got Smitty and you have Schaefer and you have Jamal and all those guys. So there's going to be some more names up here too. But it's cool. You know, it's just you go through those 2-3 years. You know, and you have great years, you have great times, and then all of a sudden, you know, fast forward and you see these guys, you're playing against them, you know, in the bigs, and you're like, whoa, you know, where did that time go? But it's cool, you know, it's cool to see that, one, these guys that are your friends are succeeding, you know, and doing really well for themselves, you know, especially Lyle down in Tampa, having the years like he has, you know, and it's exciting just being part of the Terp family, having those guys going out and succeeding.
Well, I was going to ask you, I don't think you faced Lamont yet, but you faced Lau in live competition. What was that like the first time? I mean, you had to realize it obviously in the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, he'll recount the story probably a little bit different than I will. But all I know is I had him with two strikes, and I hit him on a breaking ball, and he'll say, you know, you should have thrown the breaking ball, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, I wasn't trying to. You took a G hack at a cutter end, so it was cool. I mean, he'll say that he won that first at bat, but I faced him again in spring training and he grounded out. So to me, you know, I'll give him that, but we're 1-1 right now.
and in the AL East, both in the AL East, you're going to face each other just a few more times.
Looking forward to it.
you touched on it a little bit, but you have all these guys now from that you played with. You talked about Smitty, Schaefer, and you have guys even below them that are just getting into minor league baseball. What is sort of the pride for this initial wave, you and Lau and Monty, to get to the bigs and sort of lead that charge of this sort of new wave of Maryland players from all the success you guys had in college?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like you said, just paving that road, you know. Maryland, we get really good guys. We have a lot of talent on our teams, you know, back when we were around and even now. So just kind of getting the name out there, you know, letting people know that, you know, we're the real deal. We won two regionals and went to two super regionals, you know, like we got some really good dudes. So it's nice to, you know, I guess spearhead it, but, you know, there was guys before us that were there that let us, you know, kind of get to here. You know, you have Stinnett, who is our Friday guy, you know, so like that was for me. So he was leading the way there. And then even before then you had guys too. So, it's just kind of continuing on that legacy and building on it. You know, and I guess that's kind of our role right now, is just kind of continue to build our legacy as Maryland baseball, you know? And you know, right now we're doing a great job and hopefully we can continue with it.
You were a guy, Mike, that in college were always working on every part of your game, the mental part of the game, physical part of the game. I remember your last year in 2016, after the incredible year you had as a sophomore, you didn't have the year you wanted throughout the entirety of it. But then you rebound and have this ascendance throughout the minors. For a young player that goes through a slump, and that's what baseball is, sort of a game of struggles and ups and downs, what do you use from a mentality standpoint to get yourself back to where, you know, you kind of feel like you're disappointed a little bit, and then, you know, 3 years, 4 years later, you achieve your ultimate goal?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks going through it. It's never great, but it builds you into the player you are. It makes you tougher, you know, like, are you going to just roll over and that's it? Or, you know, this being a lifelong dream, are you going to figure it out? You know, like, you can either just wallow in it and say, you know, this is what it is, or you can learn from it and continue to build your game and get better. You know, there's to me, it's only learning opportunities. There's no mistakes. You know, it's a mistake if you continue to make them. But if you do something and it doesn't work, then you know one way not to do it, you know? So for me, it was just kind of a stepping stone. I'd rather have not done it, but to me, it made me tougher. You know, it was a learning experience. I learned from it and I felt like I grew as a baseball player and as a person too. And if anything, like, you're going to have those times, you're going to have those doubts. You're going to have times when you're just not, it's just not there for you. And you just got to keep pushing through. You got to have the confidence and the faith that you're the same person. Like, nothing's changed. You just got to keep doing it and keep learning and keep growing as a baseball player and as a human, really.
Mike, we'll get you out of here in a little bit of rapid fire. First, the artist you're listening to right now, and you've got to shut everyone off in quarantine. When you get tired of everybody, who are you throwing on the headset?
Ooh, I've been listening to some Led Zeppelin recently, Greta Van Fleet, throwing some Grateful Dead too. Just those guitar solos, you know, just you can kind of hang out, relax, especially being by the pool, you know, just get lost in the music. But right now, that's kind of what I'm jamming to.
I've been doing a lot of distance running, Mike, and I've been throwing the Grateful Dead on to kind of just keep the rhythm going, keep it mellow. So I like it.
Yeah.
How about show you're watching during this time? You're watching or streaming?
Well, I just started Westworld. Crazy. Yes. Great show, though. Great show. Little Ozarks, and then obviously The Last Dance. I mean, if
you haven't watched that yet,
you know. The Last Dance is sensational.
Yeah, unbelievable.
The activity, obviously you're doing a lot of baseball stuff, but besides that, the activity you're using to fight off boredom right now?
Well, besides just hanging out by the pool, probably playing video games, big PS4 guy, you know, COD, playing a lot of COD. Probably a little bit too much, but hey, what else is there to do?
You need those weekends to decompress, Mike, all right? Hey,
there's double XP ready for Monday. Yeah. But just trying to stay busy, you know, probably just playing some video games, just hanging out by the pool, trying to stay as much, you know, enjoying it and relaxing as much as possible, you know.
Are you trying to get in this MLB The Show league? Or are you not the show guy?
I'm not a show guy. I've never really gotten into it. I used to play a little bit. I was a big MVP guy back in the day. MVP 04, one of the better games. Personally, you know, childhood.
But, is that the one with Pujols on the cover?
No, it was the one with Manny. So it was either 04 or 05. I forget which one. But
I think 05 really was my game. That was my jam. With
Pujols on the
cover. People really ride with MVP baseball. That I've heard.
Yeah.
Great game.
Classic. Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. But I don't know. I haven't really delved into that. I don't know.
You're about the real thing. You're about real baseball.
Yeah.
Who was your Red Sox representative in that thing?
I don't know. Actually,
it's Dwight Smith for the Orioles. That's the only one I can remember.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know. I can't. Yeah, I don't know.
We have to do, Keith, because we've got to get Mike in some COD games with Jalen Smith, who also
there you go. So the war zone.
Yeah.
Mike, how about the guy who gave you your welcome to the big leagues moment in your career so far?
There's a lot of them over in London. But,
how about when you were on the mat and you looked at the box and you're like, oh, man, I'm here.
Yeah, probably that first game against the Rays, probably Kiermaier, he wound up hitting a home run off me. But I faced him the next day. But that was kind of like probably the first dude. And then Hunter Pence, like that one was pretty cool. Just being a Phillies fan growing up, watching him play and then facing him, it was kind of like, oh, wow, you know, like that's pretty cool. And then obviously just being in Fenway in itself, that's so cool. Like stepping on the mound the first time at Fenway, that was awesome. But probably just walking into that clubhouse. I mean, last year you had DP, you had Porcello, DP's Dave Price, Porcello, Mookie, JD, you know, so you just walk into that and you're just like, oh, and Sale too. I mean, like you just walk into that and you're like, I've watched all of you guys for how long, you know, and now I'm with, you know, now I'm playing with you guys. So that one was, that was pretty cool.
From the varsity team house to the clubhouse at Fenway, baby. That's what dreams are made of. Finally, we normally ask people what their favorite place to eat in College Park is. Obviously, we're not in College Park. So we will go with your favorite home-cooked meal right now that you're enjoying.
Home-cooked meal. That's tough. My mom makes really good food. So either probably her pizza or her Italian sausages are really good. And a lot of people probably attest to that, or anything she bakes, which Smythe, you probably know, from her cupcakes and whatnot. But during this quarantine, probably the steak, I've been cooking steaks on the green egg. And so that's probably my biggest thing. We usually do like a barbecue on Saturday and then steaks on Sunday. So those 2 days I look forward to, you know, grilling out and smoking some ribs or grilling steaks. So I you know, those are probably my top two.
There you go. In Florida or in Jersey, it doesn't matter. The good food is flowing. Mike Shorn, I'd be remiss if I did not shout out your fiance, Emily Brockmuller, former Maryland gymnast.
Yeah.
So a great competitive couple right there.
She's the best.
We're staying with and using her computer right now. So shout out.
Shout out to her. Yeah. Thanks, babe.
Mike, thanks so much for giving us some of your time. Personally for me, watching you in college and then seeing you in the bigs has been an awesome rise to watch, and can't wait to watch you and the rest of the Terps once we get baseball back rolling here in the summer. Thanks for your time. Enjoy quarantine in sunny Florida. Me and Keith here in Baltimore are jealous of you right now.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota, and a great conversation with Mike Shorn. Keith, it has been really funny to watch, and we've talked about this with football as well, watch all of these people figure out ways to keep training. Mike seems to have a pretty good setup down there. Shout out to his fiance, Emily Brockmuller, as I talked about, former Maryland gymnast, who's awesome in her own right. But he's got the pool, he's got the ability to throw. But I've seen, you know, I talked about it on that interview, Marcus Stroman is throwing on a long dock, Eduardo Rodriguez for the Orioles is throwing over a lake. It's been very, very interesting to watch people work out. You and I are just running around Baltimore.
Yeah, you got to find a way, right? You got to find a way, find something to do. Get the pull-up bar in the house. You know, you turn in your family room into a yoga studio or hit workout studio, whatever you got to do. And listen, if there's one thing we've learned is that you can find a way to work out anywhere at any time. You know, no matter if you can't get to the park or the gym or whatever it may be. Got to find a way through it.
Keith, we'll make sure to head out to the Smythe pool at some point to get some
laps. Yes, some laps would be good right now. That would feel really good. So the weather's getting warmer. We're getting closer to summertime here. You're going to have that itch to maybe, get outside and get into that pool. So yeah, just let me know when it's back open for business.
Absolutely. I don't know if you're watching. We go back to the draft. Watching before the draft on Saturday, ESPN College Game Day showed an entire montage of different college football players doing different things. And it was really funny. I urge people to try to find it. Watching guys like dump sand into duffel bags and lift up their dogs and lift up their siblings. I mean, it is just an incredible time to try to get that stuff in. And we continue to await to hear some of the resolutions on how sports will move forward. You hear encouraging things sometimes. You hear discouraging things sometimes. We'll have golf apparently in the next month. Starting back up. We have UFC in a couple weeks.
We have a Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning match going on.
We have a lot of different things happening, and hopefully at some point college sports will follow in the direction as we head towards the fall with soccer and football and all those different things as we head forward. And hopefully for Mike Shorn, baseball also gets back on track. As he talked about, him and Lamont Wade and Brandon Lyle and all these minor league guys coming up, it's a very exciting time for Maryland baseball in the pro baseball ranks. But that's enough for this week of Hear the Turtle. Thanks again to Mike Shorn for jumping on the show with us. And we can't wait to have different guys in positions like him, guys and girls in positions like him, as we move forward on Hear the Turtle throughout the next few weeks. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Make sure to check out our feed to listen to the last few Late Night with Locks episodes. He had a great Coach Locks had a great episode on Friday, had Torrey Smith, had DeQuell Jackson, two guys we've had on this show, and then Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Oakland Raiders, whose brother is an incoming freshman running back for Maryland. And quite frankly, with the running back depth, could get a lot of carries this year, so you better get to know that name. Make sure to follow Keith at Sned311. Make sure to go submit your favorite Hopkins Maryland lacrosse memory on Turks and Lax. A great tweet from Keith. which made me get very much more upset about the fact that lacrosse is not happening right now.
Saturday was a tough one. The rivalry was waiting for us, but not this year, but it'll be back.
And Hopkins just hired a new coach right before we recorded. So a new entry into the rivalry as they let go of Dave Petromala and now hired, reportedly have hired Cornell's head coach. So they went the John Tillman route, grabbed an Ivy League head coach. So that will participate in the rivalry. Can't wait for that to come back next April. The rivalry, one of the best things. You can follow me at TaylorSmythe10 if you want to see other things, mostly just me retweeting Maryland football. And Keith?
Some good tweets.
Some good tweets. Or about Calvert Hall and Mel Kiper. We'll see you next week.
Go Terps.